Jam-Based Podcast, which is part of the Osiris Podcast Network. I'm Andy Kahn, and I'll be hosting this episode, which is sponsored by SiriusXM. You may already know that SiriusXM brings you the deepest variety of commercial-free music for every genre and for every mood, where you can hear the biggest names in talk, entertainment, and comedy, and hundreds of hand-curated music channels designed to fit every mood, where you get news from every source, where you can listen to the newly launched Fish Radio, in addition to Jam On, Grateful Dead Radio, Pearl Jam Radio, Tom Petty Radio, and many more. Where you can listen to top comedy channels, such as Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud Radio and Netflix's A Joke Radio, and Sports Talk Radio, from Barstool to ESPN and more, to keep you up to date on the latest news in the sports world. Most people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. Subscribe now to listen outside of the car, on your phone, online, and at home, and get your first 3 months for just a dollar. Visit SiriusXM.com/Jambase to see offer details and to subscribe, and start listening today. SiriusXM, no car required. All right, let's get on with the show. As usual, we'll start in a moment with the rundown opening segment, featuring some of the latest news in the live music world. Then we'll hear my interview with Eric D. Johnson of Fruit Bats. I spoke with Eric before Fruit Bats' show in the Twin Cities, and he told me about some recent collaborations with Phil Lesh, Judy Collins, and others, as part of a fun tour story segment. Be sure to check out the excellent new Fruit Bats record, Gold Past Life, which is out now on Merge Records. We'll hear that interview shortly, but let's get started with the rundown. Unfortunately, we're again starting with sad and tragic news. Guitarist Neil Casal died last week at the all-too-young age of just 50 years old. Neil was a member of the Chris Robinson Brotherhood and Circles Around the Sun, and some of his other projects included Hardworking Americans and Ryan Adams and the Cardinals. It's been confirmed that Neil died by suicide. Many like me were still mourning the death of David Berman of the Silver Jews when I learned of Neil's devastatingly similar fate. Neil had just played several wonderful sets at Locke in the days leading up to his death. The festival ended up being the final time he would share his talents and smiles from a stage where he so often brought joy to music lovers. I got to spend some time with Neil when I interviewed him in May at summer camp for the Jam-Based podcast. He sat on Chris Robinson's bed in the back of their tour bus strumming his guitar for a while before we started the interview, which is a moment I'll never forget. He was instantly welcoming and easy to be around. We had a memorable conversation that touched on the people that meant the most to him as a musician. When I thought our time was up, Neil wanted to keep talking. He wanted to tell me about the people important in his life and how they impacted him, not only as a musician, but in his life beyond the stage or studio. It's clear in the reaction to Neil's death that he impacted the lives of countless other musicians and fans like me. After our interview, I ended up spending some time watching another band perform while Neil stood next to me. We chatted while he snapped some photos. He was a potent observer of the world around him, and the music he made will resonate while the world continues to make circles around the sun without him. My deepest condolences to his family, his friends, and his bandmates. We miss you already, Neil. Rest without pain. And if you're listening to this, I want to encourage you to talk to your friends and your family. Check in on them. Try and open up and be vulnerable to the people that you love the most. We so often don't know what struggles our friends and family members are going through. I certainly don't think I have the answer, but I do think that it can't hurt to ask people that we love if they're okay. And to also let them know that sometimes we're not okay. Because damn it, we all go through shit sometimes, and we need to lean on each other, and sometimes we need to lean hard. If you think you might need help, please try to find whatever it takes to ask for it. If you think someone you love might need help, tell them you love them, and that you'll be there to help them.
So may these pages bring your words to life, may it all begin on some quiet night. And don't forget the old times, my friend. You know they were good times. You never knew where the end was. Even if he'd lived to see, or hear again from another. You didn't treat him like some memory, maybe someday, maybe somewhere I'll see you in the blue Kentucky hills, or maybe California. Hey, maybe someday. Maybe somewhere I'll see you living.
On to the next rundown topic, which is Fish's recent visit to Dick's Sporting Goods Park in Commerce City, Colorado for their annual three-night Labor Day run. Fish has been playing Labor Day weekend at Dick's since 2011, but this was my first time attending. There's something special about Dick's. I don't know what it is. I can't really explain it. Having been there, I can say, though, that it's special. Everybody had said it was before leading up there, and then there's something about the vibe in the air. Maybe it's the end of the summer. I'm not exactly sure what. Maybe it's the previous shows that have been played there. But it just seems like everybody's there to have a good time, and the band seems to respond. And they did again this year. Friday opened with Can't Always Listen, which was the first time that song had been played since 2015, and only the second time ever. Then they played Free, which contained the first reference to a recent outbreak of plague that's carried by fleas on prairie dogs in the Commerce City area. Trey changed the lyrics to Free to reference flea, and that was only the first time he did it throughout the weekend, which saw him do it quite a few times. Set 2 kicked off with Everything's Right into Mercury, and that 40-plus minutes was just a sublime start to the set. Really one of the highlights of the weekend. I heavily suggest going back and listening to that sequence. Light then segued beautifully into Party Time. That was a great little fun segue there. And the set ended with What's the Use into Harry Hood. I know my colleague Scotty B was very pleased with the way they ended that set. On Saturday then, set 1, again a Scotty B pleaser, the first Access Me since July 1st, 2012. That's a gap of 275 shows, and it's just the sixth time overall the beloved Mike's tune has been played. The first set also contained a great Ghost into Tube segment, some great first set improvisation, which is becoming more frequent these days. The rarity Mountains in the Mist was fun to see, and the Ghost in the Forest tune Drift While You're Sleeping is proving to be quite the set closer. Set 2 opened old school with Mike's Hydrogen Week of Pog. The old school Mike's Groove was well received. I always love seeing that. The lyrics in 46 Days were changed to Taste the Fear, for the plague is drawing near. Trey giving himself another chuckle there. One of the more expansive jams of the weekend came in the second set, Down with Disease. Definitely a highlight. Check that one out. Let's move on to Sunday. Set 1 kicked off with Stray Dog with more of the Prairie Dog Flea Plague references from Trey. That Kosvat song was one of a few in the first set that also saw Turtles in the Clouds and We Are Come to Outlive Our Brains. Those songs are really starting to become a fabric of the band, I feel like. They aren't sticking out so much as new tunes so much and just really starting to feel like they're just part of the band's repertoire. Another weekend highlight came that first set on Sunday with Wolfman's Brother. Definitely check out that. The jam in it is just really, really terrific. Standout highlight of the weekend. Set 2 kicked off with the first Sightless Escape, another Ghost of the Forest tune. Like those Kosvat Box tunes, the Ghost of the Forest stuff is really starting to become part of the band's fabric, I feel like, and not stand out so much as new material. The set also had a great Fuego that segued into Piper, a nicely slowly built Piper. We love hearing that. Piper then went into a Rock and Tweezer that was just well received. 2001 obviously turned into a great dance party, and there was a nice Chalk Dust torture there in the second set too that I really recommend going back and listening to. There's a nice cohesive fluidness to that set that kind of was a microcosm of the entire weekend. The four song encore kicked off with it included another Ghost of the Forest tune, A Life Beyond the Dream. Again, another one of those songs that is really showing its worth as part of the band's repertoire. Next up for Fish is a brief fall tour taking place in November and December. All right, let's finish up the rundown. Last weekend also saw Warren Haynes and the Dave Matthews Band collaborating at the Gorge, and Widespread Panic honoring Neil Casal at one of their shows in Florida. There have also been several tour date announcements recently, including from Tool and the Disco Biscuits. Head to Jambase to read about those items and more from the world of live music and beyond. Up next is my tour stories interview with Eric D. Johnson of Fruit Bats, which is coming up after a reminder that this episode is sponsored by SiriusXM. You may already know that SiriusXM brings you the deepest variety of commercial-free music for every genre and for every mood, where you hear the biggest names in talk, entertainment, and comedy, and hundreds of hand-curated music channels designed to fit every mood, where you get news from every source, where you can listen to the newly launched Fish Radio in addition to Jam On, Grateful Dead Radio, Pearl Jam Radio, Tom Petty Radio, and many more. where you can listen to top comedy channels such as Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud Radio and Netflix's A Joke Radio, and sports talk radio from Barstool to ESPN and more to keep you up to date on the latest news in the sports world. Most people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. Subscribe now to listen outside the car, on your phone, online, and at home, and get your first 3 months for just a dollar. Visit SiriusXM.com/Jambase to see offer details and to subscribe and start listening today. SiriusXM. No car required.
I'm Andy. I'm here at the Turf Club in St. Paul with Eric D. Johnson of Fruit Bats. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I guess thanks for having me.
Yeah.
You're here on tour with your band in support of your new album, Gold Past Life.
Yeah.
It's a terrific record. I've been listening to it a lot lately.
Thank you.
So speaking of tour, we're going to do tour stories.
Okay.
Typically, when we do this, though, we'll ask the subject to pick a story to tell us about. But I'm going to kind of go the other way around this time, because I want to talk to you about a couple of recent concert shows that you've been a part of, specifically at festivals, Newport and Pickathon.
Yeah, that's better for me. That's easier. Yeah. Instead of putting the pressure of having to think
good,
of it.
Good, I'm glad I can help you out.
Yeah, I need to be railroaded into a story here.
Well, I'm glad we can do that. Let's start with Newport.
Yeah.
Because that seemed like quite an amazing experience.
Yes, it was.
I want to particularly let's talk about the collaboration you did on Sweet Judy Blue Eyes with Judy Collins herself.
Yes.
And there were plenty of other people on stage.
So. Yeah, it was a crazy amount of people on stage.
So it was Robin Pecknold from Fleet Foxes.
Yeah, Robin Pecknold and James Mercer from Shins and mm-hmm. Robin did the stills. Yes. James did the Crosby.
Okay.
And I was Nash. Top, at the top of the top rung of the ladder.
Beautiful. You got the hard part.
I got the hard part. Although actually for me, kind of the easier part.
So how did that come about?
It was really fun. Well, Chris Funk from Decemberists was sort mm-hmm. of the, I guess he was probably kind of the musical director. It was the If I Had a Song performance at the end, which is sort of this crazy kind of last waltz cavalcade mm-hmm. of luminaries came out and sang different kind of sing-along songs that mm-hmm. that people knew. It was very, very Newport-y kind of thing. They passed out a booklet.
A
hymnal.
Yeah, a hymnal. Yeah.
Chris Funk put this thing together, and like I don't know, a couple weeks before the festival, I just ended up on this text chain, and he had forgotten to ask me what I was doing. He was just sort of sending me lyrics, and I saw that James was on there, and I finally was, I think I was just kind of answering with like thumbs up emojis. I was busy, but I was like, whatever this is cool.
You were right,
and I think I did even said like, whatever this is going to be, I'm in. But what is this? Because I have no idea what you're talking about. And he's like, oh, whoops, sorry, I thought I'd talk to you about it. And he's like, you're going to sing Sweet Judy Blue Eyes. I don't think I even knew that Judy Collins was going to be involved quite yet.
Okay.
It wasn't like a stage surprise or anything. I knew a little bit beforehand, but yeah.
And how did you find out about that?
They mentioned it a few days before or something. Was like, Judy Collins is going to come out and do the doo-doo-doots with you. No big deal. And I was taking it really seriously. James, I've sung with a million times, mm-hmm. And I'm very comfortable singing with. Robin, I've known for a really long time, but mm-hmm. Have never really sung with him. And he's like one of the greatest singers on the planet, of course, and also known for his insane harmonies. So I was very intimidated and sort of like, I knew I was going to have to come and have done my homework. So I did a whole Pro Tools session of essentially covered that song at home.
Oh, really?
So that I could extract each harmony sort of have like a D. I was like, I nerded out, but only because I was like, I knew I was going
to
get my ass kicked if I just went and kind of winged it.
So then tell me about the rehearsal before you went on stage? Did you get together with?
We did not get together because we live in three separate cities. So, and I was on tour up until literally, I had actually only slept 3 hours that day because Fruit Bats had a show in New York the night before, and we had to drive after the show, and there was no rehearsal. There was talks of a FaceTime at some point, which didn't come to pass. So they rehearsed without me the night before, and I was like going to have to come in and just slot in there. And then we did do a little, I had like several hours at Newport to get together and sing with those guys. So we had a little trailer rehearsal, but it was pretty like on the fly kind of thing. And I think it turned out really good.
It turned out pretty amazing.
Usually I question those. I'm just like, I don't know how that went, but while it was happening, it was one of those where I was like, I think categorically this is going really, really well.
The amount of talent on that stage at once was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And for it all to come together so well was really, really impressive.
Yeah, yeah. I just turned around and was like, Jason Isbell was behind me and Benmont Tench. And Benmont's, I was like, this is just...
Janet Weiss playing drums. Like, it was
Exactly. Incredible. Janet Weiss on drums. I was like, what a crazy combination. Just like Janet Weiss and Benmont Tench and John Stewart. And it was crazy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. John was on bass too.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the supergroup comprised of Sleater-Kinney, also formerly Sleater-Kinney.
They referred to her as from the stage drummer for hire. I thought was pretty great.
Isbell, Benmont, Wilco. I mean, like Fleet Foxes, Fruit Bats, the Shins.
Yeah, I was the C-lister on that stage.
You're selling yourself short.
I was happy to be.
It was pretty cool, and I've seen video of it and listened to it, and it's just you should be proud of how it all came.
I got a lot of Instagram followers after that. Sure, I think a lot of people were like, "Who's that dude?" And just clicked follow. So.
Newport, though, you also played with the other group that you started.
Yeah, this new band called Bonnie Light Horseman.
And that's with...
Anais Mitchell and Josh Kaufman.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we actually have a Minneapolis rhythm section for that band.
Oh, yeah?
Who's that? J.T. Bates and Mike Lewis. Mike's in Bon Iver.
Uh-huh,
J.T. plays with, like, Hiscold and Messenger and Big Red Machine. Yeah.
Wow. Cool. So what's going on with that group?
I mean, it's... We're kind of like, we finished a record. It's slightly mysterious. It's slightly mysterious and mysterious even to me right now, too. So
that's cool.
I'm not being cagey. I actually don't really know, other than like, we have a record. It's definitely going to be a thing. We're probably not really hitting it until next year because I'm sort of in Fruit Bats land right now. So I'm taking sort of one band at a time. And Josh Kaufman, of course, is
everywhere.
Everywhere, like in every band you like, and then Anais just won
just
a bunch of
Tonys.
And it's
y'all are busy.
It's amazing. Again, I'm the weak link
again,
in that
you're
band.
Selling yourself short, I think.
I'm too Midwestern.
Well, I'm excited for them. Was it at Eau Claire's that you guys first played?
Yeah.
Because I saw that.
Yeah.
It was, we didn't even know what you guys were.
We didn't either. like Justin Vernon and Aaron Desner sort of really actually invited Josh and Anais. I wasn't even ostensibly involved yet.
Uh-huh.
They invited those guys to do something, and there was no band name or not even really a concept. They just knew they had been working together, and they were like, whatever the thing is that you're doing, you should do. So we were really sort of born out of that festival.
And there's the one track out right now.
The
self-titled.
Yeah, but there is an album, and we're keeping it sort of mysterious. But again, I'm like... it's easy to keep it mysterious because I don't really know what's happening.
Well, I like it, man, yeah. And I'm certainly intrigued and looking forward to finding out more and hearing more from
it. Yeah, I mean, we're playing shows, obviously, like, played Newport, we played Pickathon, too, so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So speaking, that's a good segue.
Yeah.
Pickathon was the other one that I wanted to talk to you about. You played there with Fruit Bats, right? But then you also got to have a pretty special experience sitting in with Phil Lesh
and
the Terrapin Family Band, right?
Yeah.
I was trying to find out, what did you sit in on? I still don't know.
I sang Candyman.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Which also, like, had no idea that it's, like, a totally reworked version. Like, that's, like, a super fast shuffle version of that. So I kind of got up getting ready to just, like, groove out in that, like, 6-8 kind of rolling 6-8 thing. And then it's just, like, they started and I had a total panic attack because I was like, is this a totally different song? And then I realized it was like, it was good. Yeah. And luckily, I probably could have sang all the verses, but I started on the second verse, which was really good because I wouldn't have even known how to like do it on the first verse. I probably would have figured it out, but it was amazing.
And so just Candyman?
Just Candyman. Yeah.
And so tell me about how that collaboration went down.
So Ross James, who's in the band,
friend of the podcast,
and a friend of mine, just sort of like, he's just a guy I sort of know from California, and just like we're friends and fans of each other and have just kind of kept in contact, and I've done some stuff at Terrapin Crossroads and Marin, have kind of friends with that whole gang, which is a really cool group of people because everybody's like, I don't think there's any other place where it's like big famous legend owns a place and then like you can kind of work there and maybe you'll play a show while people are eating food and
the utter lack of pretension there is incredible.
It's amazing, and that everybody kind of like works too it really does kind of feel like a family band a little bit, and it's really cool, and the band's incredible too. Like I've seen a lot of sort of like, you know, satellite dead things, you know, since Jerry died, and it might be one of my favorites. Like, and you forget how much the sound of that band is Phil, like how unique, that band being the Dead, like, just how integral he is, and how, he's titanically good still.
And his sound is so singular.
Yeah.
It's like the minute you hear him playing, you know it's him playing. And particularly if it's a Grateful Dead song, you know it's him playing that Grateful Dead song too.
Absolutely. So he was amazing, and Ross had kind of made like a little, we'd been texting and he's like, maybe he'll do something, and like, but was kind of like, you know, he didn't know, and I don't think he doesn't like, he's not the final word, but he was pushing for me to come and sing something, and I was like, and he's like, what do you want to do? And of course, I sent him a wish list of like 10 songs that I would have done, which I was like, I'm probably overplaying my hand. And then I didn't hear back. And I was like, oh, man, did I come on too strong? And then I never heard back. And I just didn't bug him again. And then he like kind of hit me up that day, like a couple hours before the show, and was like, you want to do Candyman? And I was like, yes, I do.
So it sounds like there was no run through before you got on stage for
not.
That, huh?
And I know that song like the back of my hand, that was fine. And it's just like you need to summon the forces of God to make that happen. You know, even if I didn't know it, I would have been like, whatever song you
want
me to do, I will learn it. I will learn it. But luckily, I know that one really well.
Come on, boys and wager, if you got the mind, if you got a dollar bill, lay it on the line. Hand me my old guitar, pass the whiskey round. Won't you tell everybody you meet the candy man?
Phil?
I met Phil for like 2 seconds I think he was just kind of like, who the hell is this guy? But whatever.
Doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. And I got to play with Weir a couple times in the past.
That's right.
And I also still don't think he knows who I am. But like the second I saw him not too long ago, it's like maybe my third time meeting him, and I got a hug. I got him hugging, but I don't think he knows my name. But I think he was like.
But you're familiar.
He was. I think he knows I know Josh Kaufman, who he really is very close with. So, definitely. Yeah.
So a friend of Josh is a friend of mine.
Yeah. So I'm racking up my dead bona fides, but I don't think Phil and I are going to be. You know, we're not going to become best friends or anything quite yet.
Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah. Man.
Keep ragging on Ross.
Yeah. Totally.
So let's talk about this current tour that you're on, and it's for Gold Past Life, which came out in June, right?
Yeah.
It's a terrific album. What did you do to prepare for this tour, for bringing those new songs into the repertoire?
I mean, it's been interesting because I've been using sort of a rotating stable of bands this time, which I... So it wasn't just the like let's rehearse for 4 days and then I'll see you next year. You know, like we'll talk about it again next year. It's actually been sort of like several like rehearsal after rehearsal. I'm the one consistent rehearsing guy in this band, which has been awesome. It's sort of like rehearsing for a rehearsal. but I've been doing like a six and seven piece band usually. Frequently like. Two extra guitar players instead of like, you know, I usually sort of play rhythm guitar and then it's usually a five piece. So I've been having an extra guitarist, sometimes an extra keyboard player and just being like really actually kind of setting out to not recreate the album, but to give people a very thick sort of stereo. Lush kind of stereo experience a little bit. Usually bringing in kind of like a ringer harmony singer who can sing above me, which is like something I never really have gotten to do. So like sometimes on, because I sing very high, I'm singing like, you know, in some lineups I've had to actually have someone else sing the lead vocal on a verse or something, and then I do that high harmony over the top if we want it. So now I'm actually bringing in
someone else
singers to like so I'm bringing kind of like a dedicated like actual singer to
a vocalist.
So
that's cool,
which is awesome. And
is it working out on stage?
It's working out great.
That's cool.
And I had like for Pickathon I had Josh Meese, my usual guitarist, but also Kaufman was with me because we were doing Bonnie Light Horseman, so he did like some of the previous shows, so we sort of had like the two Joshes.
And he's such a chameleon.
He's just plays the most beautiful guitar solos, and
So tell me about who else is in the band with you right now.
So I have the Space Bomb. You know Space Bomb?
It's like the
Space Bomb rhythm section. Cameron Alston and Pinson Chanzel from Richmond, Virginia, who are really cool because they're sort of a rhythm section with a language.
Yeah, man, with they each do cool other. Stuff.
Yeah, and really kind of like soulful and. And then. A woman named Lindsay Giles is singing with me, who I used to be in a band called Arc Life, who I produced their record, and I've always loved her singing. So
is that like the vocalist role you were talking about?
Yeah, cool. Yeah. It's usually been women because it's like it has to be someone who can sing over the top of me.
That's awesome.
And then a keyboard player named Frank LaCresto, who plays in Cass McCombs' band, in Grateful Shred.
Sure. Love those guys.
And Josh Meese on guitar, who's been my longtime guitar player for the past many years, who's amazing, on the fellow LA guy and kind of studio guy and composer. And then sometimes Kaufman's been in the band. Occasionally I'll have Josh Adams on drums, who's also in Grateful Shred and Nora Jones' band, Jenny Lewis's band, and then David Dowda, who plays bass with me a lot. This is the whole rotating stable of people. So, Sarah Versbrill from Pure Bathing Culture sometimes sings with me. And
nice. And what do you do as far as preparing a set list? Is that something that is pretty standard from show to show, or are you mixing it up from night to night?
That's been the one sort of byproduct of the rotating stable, is that it's tough to, you know, I have 9 albums plus worth of material. It's been hard to be like, hey, let's, hey, why don't you learn 45 songs or something? It's usually like, you know, it's a 90-minute set. It's fairly
tight,
but and not, you know, not like a, it's like longer than a, than your standard indie rock band set, but not like a Fish set or something like that. So it's like somewhere in between. And I feel like with a, you know, we jam, but we're not, I don't think people are coming in expecting like a 2-set, 3-hour kind of thing. We did that in Portland actually earlier this year. And I was like, I can't see how those bands do that. I was just like toast after. Yeah. They must have to.
We are as fans often too.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I know. Totally.
It's hard sometimes to stand through it for that.
Yeah. Long. I mean, and my songs are still, they're verse, chorus, verse, bridge kind of song, you know, they're pop songs at their core, you know? Right. So, we can certainly stretch out, but so it's been, it's like I want to add way more songs, but we're actually getting, I think once we go out on the fall tour, which is a much more meat and potatoes kind of like we're doing 6 weeks, like same band. It's going to be a little bit of a smaller, tighter band kind of thing. We'll probably like open up the sets a little bit, but they've been, it's all been these kind of weekend fly-ins and a lot of festivals.
One-offs here and there.
Cool thing about festivals these days, like it's not, it's gone are the days of the 27-minute set. Like we did Red Wing Festival out in Virginia, and we closed out kind of the medium-sized main stage there, and we have to do 75 minutes, which was pretty awesome for a festival.
I think it also really depends on the festival itself and like the ones you're playing, man. Like Newport,
Pickathon gives you an hour.
Yeah, like, there's such cool vibe places. Eau Claire's we were talking about before. I hope it comes back. But those types of flip, like the, they are meant not to just like ram through and see as many bands. It's, it's go and experience it and have an experience watching a band that, and that gets to actually put on their full show.
Totally. And the bands enjoy that more and thereby you get a better show.
Well, it's more natural for you. You know, I've talked to people before where they're like, we don't even know how to do a 60-minute set or a 45-minute set. Like, what is that? We haven't done that for 10 years. You know?
I think I finally reached, with the new album, which is pretty up-tempo for the most part, we've actually reached, A, no covers, like don't do covers anymore. There's almost always like one or two covers in a Fruit Bat set. And I finally, the tip, a really good tipping point has been reached where I'm like, okay, we have like the all bangers festival set that we can do kind of thing. Like, or we don't have to like pad it out. Like, we can kind of like,
you have a repertoire.
You have there's a catalog. Definitely a repertoire. It's finally, it took me like 20 years, but like
the, you have your own songbook. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, cause we don't really play anything from the first three records. Like maybe play like When You Love Somebody, which people always want to hear.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's like, it's really mostly from the last like 10 years worth of records.
Sure.
I think it's pretty common for a lot of bands, unless you had like all your hits at the beginning, which I didn't, it sort of took me a little while. So, so with the set list is like, I do try to change it up a little bit every night, but like when we played Pickathon, I tried to do two distinctive sets.
Okay.
Just in case. Although Pickathon, usually the reason why you play twice is you're going to have two different audiences.
Yeah.
But like, I can't understand how My Morning Jacket, like we did three nights in opening for them in San Francisco a few years ago, and they did like the three nights, no repeats thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, those guys have the same amount of records as me. Like, and obviously like, their stuff is just like jams so hard.
Yeah,
so
awesome. And they but pull out like, some deep
and I think
cuts
even Jim,
a lot of times
I think even
too.
Jim is like, I don't know how we do that either.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Well,
they're no Fish.
It's true. I mean,
they did 13 nights at the Baker's Dozen and didn't do a repeat. 237 songs, I think.
Yeah, that which is insane.
It's incredible.
Yeah,
it's one of a kind.
Yeah.
Well, I can get you going here, thanks so much for,
thanks
for talking
for having
to me. I'm super excited for the show tonight, and do you know where you're headed next?
We're going to Chicago tomorrow.
Chicago. You used to live there.
Yeah,
back
my hometown.
To go see some friends?
A lot of friends, a lot of family.
Family coming out tonight too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Lots of family tonight.
Lots of family. And awesome. My mom's entire book club is coming out too.
Ooh,
yeah.
Hi, book club.
Yeah,
I hope you're all listening.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thanks again.
Yeah,
cheers.
Yeah.
Safe travels.
Thanks. Back then.
That brings us to the end of this episode of the Jam Based Podcast, which was sponsored by SiriusXM. Learn more about SiriusXM by visiting SiriusXM.com/Jambase. As the Osiris Podcast Network's media partner, you can find and listen to all of the podcasts in the Osiris Network over at Jambase. Thanks out there to all of you for listening. Thanks also to Eric for taking the time to chat with me. Get the new Fruit Bats album, Gold Past Life, wherever good music is sold. Telefunken supplies these great-sounding microphones, and Jake Alexander produced the episode. That's also Jake's band Clangin' and Bangin' providing our theme music. Thanks again to all of you out there for listening. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the Jam Based Podcast. We'll be back soon. In the meantime, take care of each other, and go see live music.